الحمد لله عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته ومنتهى علمه وصل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته ومنتهى علمه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولا نظير له ولا وزير له ولا مثل له ولا مثال له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا ومحمد وعلى آله وأصحابه السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أما بعد In this life many times A person is given certain things for just to see or for examination purposes. For example, a person who goes for a driving test, he sits in the car of the examiner. He sits in the driving seat. But the purpose for that is to see how does he drive that car. If he drives it well, he is given a license, then for all his life he can benefit from cars. He can get other cars, many cars, as he wants. and drive. But if that person, for some reason, thinks that it is his car, he's giving a driving test, the car belongs to the examiner or the company, and he thinks it is his car and he starts to behave like that. He drives that car to his house or actually to a restaurant or go here and there and treats as though it is his car. Now, he will not only fail the exam because he's not following the instruction, but he will be also deprived of driving cars as long as he actually does this, keeps on doing this, and he doesn't change his behavior. So this is foolishness. Everyone understands when they go, they think it is for only 2 hours, 3 hours, 45 minutes, 60 minutes, and then I am supposed to follow the actually rules of the test and show that I can drive well so that I can get a license to drive all my life. And everyone will say this person has done a foolish act, that he sat in someone's examiner's car and then thought it's mine, and he's driving and behaving like that. Similar is the case with us people as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us, we are the drivers, we are the actual spirits, our ruh. And He placed us in a car for 50, 60 minutes. And that car's name is the body. This your body, like car has lights, it has steering, it has wheels, it has engine, it has many things. Similarly, this car also have headlights. This car has mirrors. This car has engine, the heart, the brain, the computer is working like this. It has wheels, meaning it can, this car can also walk, like you walk on your feet. But same thing is happening, that you have gone to give a driving test and presume this is your car. It is foolish, and you will be deprived actually for your life, that you will be banned, that he even ran away with the examiner's car. How is he going to behave with normal people? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azza wa jal sent you as a driver and given you a car. He is the examiner. He gave you like you get 60 minute drive, here you get 60 years. You are placed in that car. However, that car is Allah has made it. It's not your choice. But the fact is, car does not belong to you. It belongs to examiner. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this is amana, this is a trust which I have given you. These eyes, hands, this body, this mind, this way you're living in. In this 40, 60 years, if you drive it according to the rules of examiner with caution, however the rules, the book. What is the theory book? The theory book is the Quran. The theory, the preparation which you make actually, before you sit in the exam, you actually prepare for theory. After you've done the theory, then you have a practical instructor who gives you 30 lessons, 40 lessons. Now that instructor is like a teacher, a spiritual teacher, a mentor. Actually, it was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who was the instructor, the actual original and instructor of all. He was the instructor of all. The theory book was Quran, and he was the instructor who was supposed to teach you. actually how to drive this car according to the rules and regulations. So that when you are presented to the examiner and you drive that car and you pass. And when you pass, you get license forever actually to drive. Now, what is happening is the instructor, which was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like in this world, the instructor and the examiner also have some control over the car. For example, they might have a brake and clutch on their side. So they sit with you and also actually train you. Similarly to the instructor which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent for us, also Allah azza wa jal sent in the human form amongst the human beings, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he has a car as well, meaning he had a body as well, and then he showed fully prepared us for actually how to drive this car. That is why in Ramadan and other, we have 30 days, 30 lessons are given actually to what to train this car, meaning this body. Now, unfortunately, many of us, we have presumed, oh, this is our car, this is our car, although it belongs to Allah subhanahu, it does not belong, it's given just as a test. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Alladhi khalaqal mawta wal hayata, that I have created this life and death, liyabluwakum, just to see who amongst you will are best in deeds. That's all the game, that's all the purpose. Now we've come here and thought, oh, wow, how lucky we are, we can do whatever we like. And we love whoever we want, we hate whoever we want, we actually go over the limit, feed the body with haram or halal, no rule. Rules and regulations are called halal and haram. Haram and halal are the rules and regulations. So once we act like this, then if we die in this state, we get banned from any enjoyment after, no cars after death. No life as such. Life of agony and pain, not able to drive at all. Life of hell. And if we don't consider this is our car, we consider this is just given by the Creator, someone, He's examining us, and we should drive it and show that we have passed the examination. Once you pass this examination, as soon as you die, forever and ever and ever, you get whatever you want. Really, now you for entire life you can drive. And you will get new cars, meaning new bodies in Jannah, which will be much better than these bodies, never going to die, never going to grow old, never going to be ill. So that is what we are doing, if we look actually. When we are doing like this, that's obviously we will suffer. Because we lost the plot, we lost the complete rule and regulations of this game. So we do not know. So now it's just like in living in a jungle, like an animal. You never know what you are doing, who you are harming, what is the purpose of life. Just animals want to serve themselves, bodies and things, and etc., etc. And that is what is going to causing chaos. Not actually, you must not think that you are safe from, because what's happening around you and in the society is going to happen to you as well one day. You can be, if not you, your children, if not you, your a wife, if not you, your sisters, your brothers. Because if there'll be all people not following the rule, then they're doing accidents every day, bumping into whoever they want, you are not safe on the road as well. You are living on this face of earth as well. So if you want to safeguard yourself, safeguard your family, and live a peaceful life, that's what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said when Sahaba ikram rizwanul alayhim ajma'in, they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the best deed? What is the best deed in Islam? Especially in the time of when there are tribulation, when there is fitna, when there is ghafla, when there is chaos, when there is confusion. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is striving for the truth and to practice to the truth and conveying the truth and striving against evil. Jihad, struggle, striving to be steadfast and upright upon Sharia and Sunnah and calling others. It's like you are continuously in jihad. Either he said this is the best amal at that time, or the best amal is if you don't do that, then you will only be able to safeguard your iman if you seclude completely from the world and live a life of seclusion, lonely in the house or in the mountain or somewhere, actually safeguarding your iman. So there are two options. If you are on the third one, then you will be affected by the fitna, because you are not inviting, you are not striving there. The fitna, shaitan, the evil is actually inviting you. It will suck you in like a black hole. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked this question himself to the Sahaba ikram. Himself. He said that what is the most strongest, most sound amal in Islam? The strongest one, which can even then hold other things as well. The strongest of the amals, of deeds. One of the Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, he said it is Salah. Salah, Namaz, prayers. The Prophet said, yes, this is very good amal, but this is not what, this is not the strongest. Because Munafiqeen, they also prayed as well. Hypocrites pray as well. They said, then it is fasting. He said, no. Hajj, no. Jihad, no. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we do not know. We have mentioned whatever we have learned from you, some of the greatest amals. Prophet ﷺ said, it is love. Love of Allah Azza wa Jalla, love of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, love of Akhirah, love of the creation for the sake of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This is, if you have, it is going to draw everything. It is going to make you sincere, and it is going to, it is greatest motivation to do something. Do you not see people who fall in love with a car, with a woman, with something? How much they yearn, and how much actually hardship they are going through to attain that. Someone is leaving parents for a girl. Someone is leaving friends for a car, family for a house. Because once they have that, it has a natural pull. It will pull you actually toward. It will make you sincere with whatever you love, no matter what it is. People are leaving wives. They have children. And they're leaving their children and wife because they've fallen for another woman. People, they are women on the same plane as well, who have 3, 5, 7, 1, 2 children, living happily with their husbands and fulfilling their rights, but they've just actually fallen for another man and they say, we want divorce, we don't like you, we like someone else. These are the things and realities which are happening, which when a person cuts himself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, then he is going to be a person like this. Wherever shaitan actually takes. And that can be your daughter, that can be your sister, or actually anyone, a cousin, whatever, it's going to affect you. What these people are doing, because they have given their loyalty to wrong things, so they are going to, you see, hardship, they buy things for them. They do things for them, which they won't do otherwise. This entity and this reality of love, if this diamond of love is if given to the right person, then that person is going to change you into a jewel as well. Because it is a control freak. Love is a control freak. Whoever you give, that person controls you. If you've given yourself under control of a pious person, he is going to turn you into a jewel, a pious diamond. If you've given it to a shaitan, he is going to make you a shaitan. If you give it to a woman, he is going to just to see whatever she wants and fulfill her wishes. This is a very, very precious thing. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the strongest amal in Islam is love. And love, who you give love is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He is your creator. When you love Allah, it's actually you are loving yourself. Because Allah does not want anything from you. He wants to give you everything. Others, they want everything from you and they don't want to give you anything, only after saying, yearning, please give me my rights, please give me this, please respect me, please do this, etc. But it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who loves, that He loves you so much that you didn't even exist, you didn't request, and He gave you life. He gave you existence. He loves you so much. You were a dust. Now you are best of the creation. You were a drop of sperm. And now you are one of the mighty and honorable creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what is called love. Others, they use you as a tissue and throw away when actually it's used. They suck everything from you, your abilities, your wealth, and anything, whatever they want actually, and then actually leave you abandoned. So, in Islam, as I mentioned to you, the afdal amal, Rasulullah has mentioned, the afdal meaning the highest and also the strongest. And if these two things come together, the strongest and the afdal, the highest amal, then imagine what that person, then that person becomes like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He become like Sayyidina Umar Farooq, because when they actually gave their love to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happened? When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was living in the society, and he had loyalty to the tribes and others, they were, Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab, manipulating him in such a way, they are motivating him to kill the best of creation, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They go and kill them. They are utilizing his loyalty. Go and kill him. That's what the creation does. But when he gave his heart and his loyalty to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he made him the best of the creation after Anbiya alayhi wasalam. He is the second in number, actually, after best of the creation. So come to the one who only wants you to honor you, to the one who only wants to give you, who want to bless you, who want to give you the utmost love, utmost care. The others are milking you away from it whatever you have and are going to abandon like shaitan. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said he passed away in this month. He said, this is a strange thing which I have seen. It's a strange phenomena I have seen. Dunya is pushing you towards death and away from you, the life. And you are actually trying to nourish the love of dunya. You are trying to entertain it. You are trying to care for it. And it's pushing you away. It's like a person who is throwing you out and you are actually accepting them. He said, dunya, day and night, every day and night, it pushes you slightly toward the grave. He said, go. One day passes, go. You are one day closer to the death. And he said that you are loving it and it's pushing you away out of it itself and you are. And also, this is one of the blessed birth of Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra, radiallahu ta'ala, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu, the leader of the women of Jannah. According to one rivaya, she was born in this month. Look at these two great personalities. He is the leader, he is the best person after Anbiya, and Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra is the best woman, actually, of the entire Ummah and the entire women. And look what attachment they had with the dunya. How relationship they had with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what a blessed life they lived and what a blessed life they did. Her grandson, Imam Ali Zain al-Abidin, the son of Imam Hussein, radiallahu anhu, because he is the person who learned about Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Sayyidina Ali. He lived with Imam Hussein, Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra. So he gathered so much knowledge and wisdom from these great personalities which came to him that he became like a beacon of wisdom. He was walking, talking Quran and Sunnah. People could see, as someone said, that the people of Ahlul Bayt, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Imam Hussein, Imam Hassan, Imam Zain al-Abidin, they were such people brought up by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then respectively, that they said that we could see, if someone wants to see the reflection of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam's servitude and abdiya, and his servanthood, his loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone wants to see the steadfastness of giving dawa of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam for 950 years and such actually steadfastness. If someone wants to see the sacrifice of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. If someone wants to see the proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and jalal of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, if someone wants to see the reflection of the zuhud, the detachment from dunya of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, and someone wants to see the reflection of the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and sidq of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and supporting the truth of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab and Haya of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu, they said people should see Imam Hussein, Imam Hassan, Imam Ali Zain al-Abidin. These personalities, they reflected all this actually in one personality. Once Imam Zain al-Abidin radiallahu anhu, he said that from my life, which you know has covered so much, that I have witnessed the Karbala, I have witnessed actually the journey to Syria of the when Sayyidina Imam Hussein's head was on the spear and the Shuhadai Karbala, he was accompanying that caravan there and back to Medina, lived before the Karbala and in the Karbala on the only male. And he said, if anyone wants to learn from my life, he said, three lessons are the summary of actually my life and teachings. What I have learned all through this, actually from my father Imam Hussein, from my auntie Sayyida Zainab, my uncle Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu, and all actually this, and my mother, my grandmother, and all this. Aapne goya farmaya ke hamari zindagi kaun, Imam Ali Zainal Abidin ka khulasa, unki talimat ka farmaya ke ye teen cheezon mein banda seekh sakta hai, person can learn. And he said that any person who acts upon our these three advices, he will live a life of peace in this world and hereafter. Jo banda hamari is nasihat par, in teen nasihaton par agar usko zyada nahi yaad rehta, if he cannot remember much, if he is not so wise, if he is not so knowledgeable, just these three nasihats he acts upon, he will get a life of success. Number one, pehli baat aapne farmayi ki duniya ki mohabbat dil se nikal lo. Throw out the love of, not dunya, love of dunya. Duniya mein to raho. In dunya you earn, you become a wali in dunya. It is the field of earning. But love of dunya, take it out from the heart. And then he mentioned ki duniya ki mohabbat se kya murad. Farmaya ki ye tumhe bande ko tabahi ki taraf le jati hai. This takes you to self-destruction. Usme kya shamil hai? What is included in the love of dunya? He said, yes, money, wealth, maal o dolat ki mohabbat, izzat, honor, love of fame, name, shohrat ki mohabbat, naam ki mohabbat, martabe ki mohabbat, the love to fulfill the pleasures of the flesh. Iski mohabbat ke main mere jo jism ki khwahishat, khane peene ki nikah ye wo, in cheezon ko aaram, ye cheeze bhai, inki mohabbat jab ghar kar jaye, isi ko farmaya duniya kehte hain. This is what he means by dunya. When these things come, they'll take you toward destruction. And if you ponder and reflect a little deeply, everyone almost who have doomed, who has been doomed and destroyed, it is because of this. If Shaitan has been destroyed, how high he was living, what brought him before down? The love of fame and name. He wanted to be actually higher. Although he was living peacefully there. What led Yazid to martyr Sayyidina Imam Hussein? And it was love of the country, love of the wealth, love of power. So Imam Ali Zainul Abidin radiallahu anhu, he say, mentioned that my life lessons are three. If you act upon these three, you will succeed in this life and hereafter. And the first one he is discussing is that take the love of the dunya, love of fame, name, money, and pleasures of the flesh out of your mind and heart. Because they are going to take you to destruction. A person who is addicted to drugs, what is that? This is a pleasure of the flesh. He's addicted to alcohol, addicted to fornication, zina. It's a pleasure of the flesh. So almost everyone who has failed in this dunya, they have been victim of this disease. I was giving you the example of shaitan ki misal di hai. Aram se, sukoon se jannaton mein reh raha hai. Lekin wo naam ki mohabbat aur martabe ki mohabbat, ke mera naam kyun nahi uncha, Adam alayhi salam ka kyun uncha ho gaya, wo usko nahi chale. Qabil the son of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. He killed Habil. Why? Love of dunya. Yo aurat ki muhabbat aa gayi. Hasad aa gaya ki iski biwi kyun khoobsurat hai, meri kyun khoobsurat nahi. It's a pleasure of flesh after all. Isi tarah jo hai Salih alayhi salam ki qoum, Hazrat Hud alayhi salam ki qoum, maal ki muhabbat mein wo mare gaye. دنیا کے بعد ہم بڑے طاقتور ہیں. فیرو what destroyed him? Because he had wealth and the love of the ملک. He knew very well حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام is prophet of Allah. But because he had a country under him, he didn't want to give up the rulership. He thought, I won't be any ruler. That's why one saintly person said, if Pharaoh didn't get enough bread to eat, he would never claim godhood. He would never claim godhood. It is the money and the love of these things, the blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave, he misused them. But there are people like Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam who were kings, Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, they used all kingship and all authority to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the caliph of whole Islamic world. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu was caliph, and they used all that to come even more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More than Abu Fir'aun and all these. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he ruled more land than anyone, and with justice. So Qarun was destroyed as well, love of the wealth. Abu Jahl, because he thought, I am a leader, because of him. These Jewish people, Bani Israel, who lived in the time of Rasulullah in Madinah to Manawwara, they knew Prophet ﷺ is their Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they thought, oh, we are from Bani Israel, he is from Bani Ismail. We are the children of Hazrat Yaqub, he is the descendant of Hazrat Ismail. No, no, our name, we should be higher, Prophet should be amongst us. Instead of submitting, they actually said, we are not going to believe in you. They opposed him. So can you see what Imam Zain al-Abidin is saying? That first thing, if you want peace, then actually take this love out of. Aapne farmaya, jab inki maujoodgi, jab duniya shahwat ki maujoodgi bande ko tabahi ki taraf le jati hai, to unki ghair maujoodgi bande ko tabahi se door le jati hai, aur ye kamyabi aur sukoon ka pehla darwaza hai. He said, when the love of dunya takes you towards destruction and ruining your life, similarly, when you will take it out, it will take you away from ruins. It will take you away from destruction and actually failure. And he said, this is the first door of peace. If you want to enter, if peace is a palace, the first door of peace is actually to take this out. Then he said, secondly, this is the first lesson. I'll only give you his three lessons which he gave. Second lesson is it that when you've taken the love of dunya out, what should you do? What should you replace it with? He said, jab isko dil se nikal de, to uski jagah makhlooq par shafqat apne dil mein le aao. Unki dunyavi ukhrawi shafqat aur is maale mein پھر جو مشکلات آئیں ان پر جو ہے وہ صبر کرو. Meaning that he said, take this love of dunya out of your heart and mind with the creation. So now what should you do? You, instead of that, put the welfare, the well-wishing and compassion upon creation in your heart. Meaning now you say, O creation of Allah, I am not in the race of competing for dunya and money and fame. I am out of this race. When you're not out, then obviously you will also be, someone will be jealous with you, you will be jealous with someone, etc. etc. But when you say, okay, you have good ka, I wish shafaqa, I want the creation to have the best clothes, the best cars, the best things, the better things. I want peace for them. I want goodness for them. That is where I find peace. I am not competing it competing with them. I am not in that competition. Like a horse race going on, dog race going on. People don't run with dogs. Dog race, kuttu ki dod hai, unko bhagne do. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Ad-dunya jifa." The example of dunya, haram dunya, is like a corpse, a dead corpse, and its competitor is the people that who are racing towards to get that corpse. Their example is like dogs. तो ये तो दुनिया कुत्तियों की तरह उसकी तरफ भाग रहे हैं लोग. तो आपको, मैं नहीं कुत्ता, मैं अल्लाह का बंदा हूं. तो दुनिया के कुत्ते हैं, दुनिया के पीछे वो भागे, फेम के पीछे, नेम के पीछे. यू सेड यहां डॉग रेस होती है, वो डॉग्स दौड़ रहे हैं, हॉर्स रेस है. यू सेड आई एम नॉट अ हॉर्स. यू शुडंट जंप इन एंड स्टार्ट एक्चुअली रनिंग इन दैट ट्रैक वेयर हॉर्सेस आर रनिंग, वेयर डॉग्स आर रनिंग. क्योंकि आपने ओके यू आर लुकिंग, लेकिन उसके साथ पार्टिसिपेट ना करो. सिमिलरली spiritually, these people who are addicted and who have been affected by the love of dunya and fame and name, internally they are like animals. They are going to kill brothers, cousins, everyone who comes in their way. They have like actually wild beasts. They have come, they're not human beings anymore, as such. Although outward, that's why you see Pakistan, India, Bangladesh here, brothers, families, when they have some wealth, they're fighting over it. Someone saying, "I own this, you own this." When someone's father died, this happened. Same brothers and sisters, they are fighting over houses, the shares of the houses and things, etc., etc. You see very clearly. So Imam Ali Zain al-Abidin says that this is that you don't compete with the creation in worldly matters, because they are actually, they don't know. So you come out of that race once you create. Taken out the love of dunya, rather want goodness for them. Ask, "Ya Allah, give them what actually they need, and ukhrawi shafqa, have compassion upon them from akhirah point of view. Don't only want goodness in this world for them, also want and wish goodness for them in akhirah. Ya Allah, when they get die, let them die in good state. When they go in paradise, let their graves become garden of Jannah for them. When they go on resurrection day, let them actually pass that without hisab kitab." Meaning, want goodness for them in dunya and want goodness for them akhirah. He said, replace the love of dunya with this love. How much a difference? One is, "I want this, I want this, I want money, I want this," fighting over with people. And now you say, "I want goodness of the people. I want them to be blessed. I want them to be peaceful. I want them to be happy. I want them, when I see them in a good car, I feel more happy than if I had a good car. I see them in good clothes, I feel more happy than if I had clothes." And as I mentioned on the Friday as well, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you don't disturb your neighbor with the aroma of good food, that meaning if you are cooking good food and the aroma, the fragrance, the of the food goes to them, he said, now it is right, it is duty upon you to let them share as well in your food. Don't really, because you are not of those people. Then he said that in this, once you will do this, there will be difficulties coming. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked this question, one of the Sahabi, he said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is there any amal, any practice, if one does, that Allah also love you as well as the creation will love you?" So the creator and creation both love you. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Yes, izhad fi dunya yuhibbuk Allah." Take the love of dunya out of your heart. Detach your heart from dunya. Allah will love you. "Wazhad fi ma'idin nas," and get out of the race and competing with the creation, what they are competing about, and people will love you as family. ये जो तबाही और ज्यादा हसद ये चीजें कि वो कंपीट कर रहे हैं बंदे एक दूसरे के साथ. एंड व्हेन यू आर आउट ऑफ कंपटीशन, दैट्स व्हाई पीपल लाइक एंड लव औलिया अल्लाह. क्यों? बिकॉज दे नो दे आर नॉट इन द सेम रेस एज अस. दे आर नॉट इन द कंपटीशन, वी वांट दिस, दे ओनली वांट गुडनेस. तो हर एक उनसे मोहब्बत करता है. इफ दे पास्ड अवे दे स्टिल लव, इफ दे आर लिविंग दे स्टिल लव. If they passed away, still living in the hearts of people, because they were not the competitors in this field. Or bade bade ameer, badshah, there are many, many king, rich people. People don't love them. They think they are, people love them, but people don't love them. So this is the second thing. He said, firstly, take the love of dunya out. Secondly, replace it with shafaqa, with mercy, with compassion, with actually welfare of the people. He said, this is the conclusion which I have learned from Imam Hussein, Imam Hassan, radiallahu anhuma, and my grandmother Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra, and over actually the knowledge which came to him from different sources, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Ali and all these. And the third principle, third nasiha, he said, ke maine apni zindagi ke nachod se seekha hai. That I've learned the third lesson from all my life. Ke makhlooq ki taraf se jo takaleef mile unko maaf kar diya karo. That whatever difficulties, harms, bad things reach you from the creation, try to forgive them. Usko maaf kar diya karo. Unko maaf kar diya karo. That whatever reaches you from the creation, from the evil, he said, try to forgive. You think you are doing a favor to a person who you forgive? Yes, maybe. But really, you are doing favor to yourself. Why? That until you don't forgive, that person is still torturing you. Let's say someone slapped you and you said, I'm not going to forgive this person. I'm not going to forgive. Okay. Every day when you remember this, because you've not forgiven, you've not released it from your heart, you are actually being slapped every day. That torture of slap, that he slapped you once, you are making him slap you every day, many times, because of repeating what he's done, etc., etc. So he is still torturing you. He's got a wire connected to your heart, and he is sending the messages of torture, and you are being tortured, and I can't sleep, and I have nightmares, etc. I have been wrong, nothing. One way is to get through or release that or cut that wire, and that button is called forgiveness. Once you press that, it's as though you've released the wire and it goes away. He can't torture you anymore. Finish. So Sayyidina Imam Ali Zain al-Abidin radiallahu anhu, he said that whenever harm reaches you, and then he mentioned it will be a difficult matter, but forgive the creation. Forgive the creation. Ab ye sabse mushkil kaam hai. He said it is a difficult thing. It is a difficult thing because of misunderstanding. If you understand, it's easy. Agar aap samajh jayein, to maaf karna aasan hai. अगर ना समझे तो मुश्किल है. आपने समझाया. Now he explained how is it easy. He said, लोग ज्यादातर इसलिए माफ नहीं करते. वो सोचते हैं कि इस बंदे ने उनको तकलीफ दी है, तंग किया है. अब वो किस तरह बर्दाश्त करें कि इस बंदे को कुछ भी सजा ना मिले. भाई वैसे ही इसको छुट्टी मिल जाए. He said, why people find it difficult to forgive? They said, this person have wronged us. This person have actually done this to us. If we forgive him, we have let him free. He's got nothing. He didn't pay anything. He's got easy life. If we forgive him, finish. तो इसलिए वो कहते हैं कि अब इसको भी बदला देना पड़ेगा. अब हम माफ नहीं करेंगे इसको. So he, radiallahu anhu, said that why people find it difficult? Because they think we are hurt. एंड हाउ शैल वी लेट दिस पर्सन गो फ्री फ्रॉम हर, हम इसको क्यों माफ कर दें, क्योंकि इसकी तो मौज लग गई, इसकी तो छुट्टी हो गई, खत्म. बट दिस इज कंफ्यूजन, कंफ्यूजन. ही सेड, मगर वो ये नहीं समझते कि अगले बंदे की सबसे बड़ी सजा यही हो सकती है कि उसको माफ कर देना. ही सेड द ग्रेटेस्ट पनिशमेंट यू कैन गिव द पर्सन इज टू फॉरगिव हिम. फरमाया अगले बंदे सबसे बड़ी सजा माफ कर देना, ये उसके लिए सबसे बड़ी सजा है. क्यों? फरमाया द रीजन इज बिकॉज when someone is wrong, someone has oppressed you, the oppressed one becomes mazloom, becomes actually closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help, like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fear from the dua of oppressed person, even though he is a non-Muslim. Even though he is a non-Muslim, fear his dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help is from with the mazloom, with the oppressor, no matter he's a sinner or he's actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help. Help. Allah azza wa jalla is standing from that point of view, justice is with him. Even with animals, if you oppress, someone is killing animals, especially those animals which do not harm you, young animals living in the jungle, birds, etc., etc., cats, dogs, leopards, lions, etc., to kill them, just for actually joke and just to... Recently they were showing in the news someone has actually burnt a lion or some kind of animal alive in a cage just for entertainment or whatever. And people are doing like this. So when someone is oppressed, he's saying that you, that person become closer to Allah. And when he forgives, he becomes a beloved of Allah. When he forgives the other person, this mazloom becomes the beloved of Allah. And when he becomes a beloved of Allah, then you have put that enemy face to face with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you come out, you said, I'm not taking any revenge. You forgiven. But you forgiven your rights. But Allah has rights upon him as well, about you. It is up to you. You forgive him or not, you forgive, even then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take action against him. And it happens as well. It's like, let's say you kill someone here in this country or harm someone. You said, no, I'm taking the case back. But sometime the state takes the responsibility. Say, no, no, okay, you've done, okay, it's up to you, you're forgiven. But the state is going to take the case now. We are going to pursue the matter. We are going to punish this person, because when he violated your rights and the law of the land and the law of the state as well. Similar is case with the other Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have rights. When Allah said don't harm him, this was the right of Allah, and then he violated your rights, whatever you did, he did to you. So you can forgive yours. Now Allah will forgive if he wants, if he doesn't want, he won't. So Imam Zain al-Abidin radiallahu anhu is saying that when you have forgiven a person, now you have put him in direct conflict face to face with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah will take revenge. If he wills, he will, he forgive him. So farmaya ke jab banda maaf kar deta hai, wo Allah ka mahboob ban jata hai. और अल्लाह के महबूब को जो तकलीफ दे चुका है या दे रहा है, अल्लाह ताला किस तरह उसको तबाह ना करेगा. एंड हूएवर हार्म्स, हर्ट्स, रॉन्ग्स द वली ऑफ अल्लाह, द पर्सन, देन अल्लाह विल इज गोइंग टू टेक रिवेंज. अब जिन लोगों ने हम पर जुल्म किया, ही सेड दैट दोज पीपल हु ऑप्रेस्ड अस, हु किल्ड माय फादर इमाम हुसैन, मार्टेड हिम, ही दे किल्ड माय अंकल्स, माय कजन्स, ब्रदर्स. He said, जिन लोगों ने हम पर जुल्म किया, हमारे अहले बैत को शहीद किया, तंग किया, हमने तो उनको माफ कर दिया. He said, I have forgiven them. We have forgiven them. अब देख, इतनी भी कड़ी बात हो सकती है. हमारे लोग छोटी छोटी बातों को लेकर बैठे हैं. Oh, dear, I'm not going to forgive this person. This happened 5 years before, 10 years. He didn't do this, he did this. Small things, petty things. And Imam Zainul Abidin is saying that I have forgiven those who killed my father Hussein, my uncle Hazrat Abbas, my cousins, my brothers, because he was the only inheritor, live inheritor. Aap hi sab ke waris jitne bhi Karbala mein ahle bayt shaheed hue, sab to shaheed ho gaye, baki bache ye sirf jo hai. He was the only inheritor alive of them, and he said, I have forgiven. Ab kitni badi baat hai. Hussain ki shahadat, Imam Hussain ke qatl ko wo maaf kar rahe hain, aur hum choti moti cheez leke baithe hue hain, small things, oh he this that to me, he did that to me, petty things, he didn't come to my da'wah invitation, he didn't return my gift, he didn't return my salam, etc. He did this, he didn't welcome me, etc. Small things. Lekin ye qatl bhi ho, shahadat bhi itni badi ho. And he proved this in his life. Imam Ali Zain al-Abidin, Ali bin Hussein, Ali the son of Hussein, radiallahu anhuma. He was living in Medina Sharif. He had a guest house, his house. One person come, many people came sometime for him. One guest came, he welcomed him, smiling, he entertained him, he gave him food, he gave him best bedding, etc., looked after him 2 days, whatever. After 2 days, the guest said, I want to go now. He said, good and well. He came to the door to see him off, but he was feeling sad. The other one, his mom said, why is it that you have? He said that I'm not feeling good. Because the character which I have seen, I'm not feeling good, but I fear to say something. He said, no, say. He said, maybe you do not know, I was also one of those people who cut and slaughtered in Karbala and killed your father, Imam Hussein. I was one of those participants who slaughtered him. And you've been so good. And so I felt, I didn't feel right. I want to ask, actually, just mention this to you. Imam Ali Zain al-Abidin said, as soon as you came first day, in the first glance, at the first glance, I recognized you. You are the killer of my father, Imam Hussein. How can I forget you? But he said then, what about this entertainment? What about the smiling face which you have shown? What about the best food you have given? What about the service? What about the best bedding you have given me and that looking after and care? What is that? He said, that is what we learned from whose head you were holding in your hand. This is what he taught. This is what he told. You were holding the head of my cutting, after cutting, slaughtering the head of Sayyidina Imam Hussein. The head you were holding in your hand, it is his teaching what I did with you. Because he said, one who oppresses you, forgive him. One who deprives you, bestow blessings upon him. Who does evil with you, return it with goodness. That was, he said, my teaching of my father, who he learned from his grandfather and his father as well. What you did was your amal. What I did was the amal of the personality which you were, his head which you put on the spear. With the head you were holding, that tongue spoke about this. And I acted upon this. So what Sayyidina Imam Ali Zain al-Abidin radiallahu anhu is saying is not only verbal saying, he practically, this actually showed, not only verbally he forgave, but also actually he practically showed in this incident shows. Not how. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I mentioned this hadith in the Shama'il on Friday. Question, for example, just to make you understand, in a question form, that which sadaqah is the best sadaqah? People ask, we want to give sadaqah, we want to give charity. Which is the best sadaqah? So that I can benefit, my problems could be solved, I can get closeness to Allah.
Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the best charity, which is the best sadaqah? He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best sadaqah or zakah you can give is to a relative, deserving relative, who hates you, who consider you enemy, who is jealous of you, who tries to destroy you. The best sadaqah is when you give to him, is the best sadaqah, is the highest reward in that sadaqah. Nabi alayhi salam farmaya, sab se afzal sadaqa zakat wo hai ke jo aise rishtedar ko di jaye jo aapse dushmani aur bughz aur dushmani rakhta hai, wo sabse afzal sadaqa hai. Aur ye to aap farmaya, lekin aapne farmaya ke hum par un zulm kiya hamare ahle bait kuch humne maaf kar diya, magar kya Allah unko maaf karega jalla jalaluhu, but will Allah forgive him Yazid and others? That he has done such crime, and he have gone and he said, "Farmaya, kabi bhi nahi, wo jahannam mein jal rahe hain aur jalte rahe hain." The rights of Allah upon him. You know, if Allah wants, he can. But that's what Imam Zainul Abidin said. "Main humne to maaf kar diya, ab Allah kare unko na kare." But his judgment was actually that Allah will not forgive him because they have done such crime actually knowingly. Actually, these people. تو فرمایا کہ یہ تینوں باتیں یاد رکھ کر بندہ ان پر عمل کرے اور ساری زندگی کار بند رہے تو دنیا میں بھی سکون کی زندگی گزار سکتا ہے اور آخرت میں بھی. He said, anyone who learns, understands these three principles and lives his life according to these three principles will find peace in this life and hereafter. Otherwise, you will not find peace because you will be competing all the time with someone. If you have 1,000, some will have 2,000. If you have 10,000, some will have 100,000. If you have 100,000, some will have a million. How will you? Once you get out of this race, you are in peace. Okay, if two teams are competing with, for example, the football match, okay, they are concerned. If you are not interested, it doesn't bother you. It doesn't bother you because you are not in the team, you are not their supporter, finish. But if you are in competition, if you are walking on the foot and somewhere, then you see someone on the cycle, you'll be disturbed. Oh, I don't have cycle. Okay, you can buy a cycle. Now you are on the cycle going wherever you are. Then you see a motorbike actually going past you. Again, you are disturbed. Now the cycle looks like it is nothing because you are in this game. Now, once you are by that motorbike, some better motorbike, bigger motorbike goes. You say, oh, my motorbike is nothing. It's only 200 cc, whatever. This is 1,000 or that's what's called motorbike. When you buy that, then you are going on motorbike thinking you are very, very lucky and peaceful. And then you see a car passing by, again all peace is gone. Then somehow you buy a car, then you actually see a better car passing by, you see my car is nothing, this is a car actually. When you buy a best car, then you see a helicopter. It's never ending actually the thing, and you won't get peace. So that's why they say the greatest wealth is contentment with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and exiting yourself from that race, then it doesn't matter who is a billionaire, who is a beggar for you, actually you are not in that race. You are in the race of actually pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pleasing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, making your akhirah, and you want even goodness for the people as well. So, yeah, Jesus. And this is the message of the tariq, because Imam Ali Zainul Abidin radiallahu anhu is one of the shuyukh, one of the mashayikh in the shajara, in the tariq, after Imam Hussein, his message, his name is mentioned. And these three principles can be internalized in a person through following the course of tariqah Muhammadiyah. These things actually do come in a person by that. Jazakumullah.